George? George, can you hear me? I want to tell you something. At night, I often lie awake thinking about you. Yes, even after all these years. Oh, God, George, how I miss you. No one ever made love like you. They wouldn't know how. But let me tell you, despite what happened, despite everything that happened between us, I've never stopped loving you. Never. The lights. No, George. Please don't turn off the lights. You know how I hate the dark. Please don't leave me alone in the dark. George! Are you here? Are you really here? George!
Dark, a drama of fear, possession, and the paranormal by Victor Pemberton. With Honor Blackman, Bessie Love, and Nigel Anthony. Dark.
Well, don't tell me anybody's ever actually slept here. It looks more like a church.
We call it the chapel. It was my daughter's idea, on account of the high ceilings and sloping walls. What do you think of the stained glass window up there? Real creepy, huh?
Yeah, if you say so.
Mind you, I never come up here myself. Oh, no. All those stairs would be the death of me. I have bad arthritis in my knees, you know.
Really? I'm sorry.
Not that I complain. No one can ever say I'm a burden on my daughter. I just go on in my own harmless way, waiting for the time when the good Lord calls me.
Calls you? Calls you what?
It's a figure of speech, young man.
Oh, I see.
And don't bother to ask me why the window's been bricked up, because I don't know. My daughter had it done soon after... Well, soon after my son-in-law's death.
Hmm. That's a pity. It makes the room so dark with only the one window and the ceiling. Yeah, where does this lead to, behind the curtain?
Oh, that's the old ironing room.
An ironing room? In the attic?
Oh, in the old days, all this must have been the servants' quarters. It's full of junk back there, isn't it?
Yeah, it seems to be. Mrs. Whitman, how long have you and your daughter lived in this house?
Oh, Virginia came here soon after she married, about 19 years ago. I didn't join them till much later.
Oh. Would that have been before or after George Preston's execution?
Oh, I hate this house. I hate all it stands for. It's cold and dark and demanding. After the trial, I begged her to sell everything and come back home with me to Vermont. She could have had it so good there, a chance to mix with her own kind. But no, she had to stick it out, to stay behind and face up to all the nasty little innuendos. Oh, people can be so cruel. Even now, after all these years, they still stare at her in the street as though she's some kind of a freak.
Well, what's wrong with that? She should take it as a compliment.
A compliment?
Well, it's a whole new scene now, Mrs. Whitman. Nobody cares anymore what you do or how you do it.
I care.
Oh, good. Hey! Is that a wind-up gramophone over there? Oh, I haven't seen one of those since I was a kid. Does it work?
Unfortunately, yes. It was here when my son-in-law bought the house. He was very attached to it.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Oh, there's a record on the turntable. Doesn't anybody ever dust this thing? See me dance the polka. Oh, great. What if I play it?
I'd sooner you didn't.
You know, I've never been able to understand why people get rid of old possessions.
I know why you're here, young man.
I mean, if somebody left me a work of art like this, I'd treasure it for the rest of my life.
Did you hear what I said, Mr. Elliot? I know why Virginia brought you here.
Fantastic.
It won't do any good, you know. She's not well. She hasn't been well for a long time, poor child. She suffered so much all these years. Oh, for God's sake.
Hey, I was enjoying that.
Mr. Elliot, Did you know that my daughter could die at any moment?
I beg your pardon?
The doctors say that if she doesn't take things easy, she has a heart condition that could, well, do her a lot of harm. I just thank God she's got enough money to take good care of her health. Not my money, you understand. Oh, no. You see, when her father died, he left everything to her. He did so love his darling little daughter. To be precise, he loved her to the tune of $500,000 in a New York bank.
Really?
Now, have you ever been to the United States, Mr. Elliot?
No. As a matter of fact, I haven't.
You should go sometime. America's a land of opportunity, you know.
Yeah, so I've been told.
So sorry I'm late. There's an awful lot of traffic and it's beginning to snow. It's Mr. Elliot, isn't it? Mr. Simon Elliot?
Hello, Mrs. Preston.
You look much younger than your picture in the magazine.
Much younger.
Mother, I'm sure Mr. Elliot would like a cup of tea. Would you be a dear?
Oh, why not? That's about all mothers are good for, I suppose.
Thank you, darling. Oh, there are some ginger cookies in the kitchen.
I know there are. I made them.
You mustn't pay too much attention to Mother. She's got just...
Suffers with arthritis in the knees.
Oh, don't you worry. She'll outlive the lot of us. Well, me anyway. They make them tough in Vermont, you know. I must admit I feel a little awkward. It was good of you to come. I don't know why, but I didn't think you would.
Is that why you weren't here to meet me?
I guess you could say I was a little nervous.
If me?
Naturally.
Well, why naturally?
Come now, it's not every day I go around inviting people like you to call on me.
People like me?
How old are you, Simon?
Well, you read the article in the color supplement.
Yes, but it was a little flip, a little in awe of you, I thought. How much of it was true?
Oh, about 60%.
What about the other 40%?
I have a vivid imagination.
You may need it if you're going to help me.
Who said I was going to help you, Mrs. Preston?
Oh. I'm sorry. I'm sorry I can't offer you a cigarette or anything. You see, I don't smoke.
Neither do I.
Good boy, Simon. You'll live to be 100. Would you like to take some time to look over the room?
No, thanks.
No?
But I don't need to look over the room, Mrs. Preston. I'd just like to ask you a few questions, that's all. Could we sit down, please, here at the table?
Why not? Sorry there's so much dust everywhere. We haven't been up here since... Well, not in a long time. Okay. So what do you want to know?
Mrs. Preston, why did you write to me? You do know I'm not a professional medium.
I don't want a professional medium. I'm not interested in all that crap about poltergeists and ectoplasm and paranormal phenomena. All I need is someone I can talk to. Someone who's just as much an innocent victim of the things he can't understand as myself. My mother thinks I'm crazy. Absolutely crazy. She's convinced I've just dreamed up the whole thing.
And have you?
That's up to you to find out.
Well, it would help if you could tell me when it all first started.
It was about 2 years ago. I was sleeping downstairs, the room below this.
And you heard something?
No, not a thing. It was just a feeling, a sudden urge to get out of bed and come up here to the chapel. God knows why. I hadn't dared come through that door since the night it happened.
So, you got out of bed and came up here to this room.
Mm-hmm. I turned on the light and for a moment just stood here, staring at the room. Everything was exactly as it had been all those years ago. But none of it made any sense. As though I'd never even seen the room before. I sat down on the edge of the bed. It was so quiet outside, I couldn't even hear the traffic on the other side of the park. Suddenly, a feeling of deep depression came over me. I began to cry, to talk out loud. It was as though there was someone else in the room, sitting right there beside me. I found myself shouting out questions, but there was no one there to answer me. And yet, all the time, I knew I could hear George's voice, loud and clear. Then I had an uncontrollable urge to sleep in this room. I can't explain why, only that I had to do it. So I got some sheets and blankets and made up the bed. I went to the door, locked it, turned off the lights, and settled down for the night. When I woke up the next morning, the top sheet and blankets had been stripped off the bed and folded neatly over my feet. Since then, I haven't been able to resist coming up to this room night after night.
Yes. Where did you first meet your husband?
Curiously enough, it was a day rather like today. It was in a snowstorm in New York City. We were both coming out of Grand Central Terminal at the same time when George suddenly slipped in the snow and quite literally fell at my feet.
He worked in a government office or something, didn't he?
Yes, in those days he was visiting the United States with a British trade delegation. We married about a year after that, and I came with George to England to live with him in this house.
And was it a happy marriage?
For most of the time, yes.
Most of the time?
Well, we had our disagreements, just like anybody else.
Did you share your husband's interest in religion?
That's an odd question.
Well, the crucifix on the wall over there, the stained glass window in the ceiling.
He wasn't a religious maniac, but he loved reading from the Bible. He could recite by memory practically anything from it.
Tell me, why did you have the window bricked up like that? Mrs. Preston?
I couldn't bear the way people used to gather in the street below, that's why. Just gaping up at that window all day.
But we're three floors up. Surely nobody could see very much. Mrs. Preston, did you and your husband ever make love in this room?
That's not the kind of question I care to answer, young man.
Oh, okay, well then there's not much point in my being here.
Yes, we made love here. Why shouldn't we? George was my husband, you know.
But he wasn't the only man you slept with in this room, was he?
Boy, you have done your homework, haven't you? Now I know why you took so long to answer my letter.
Now, when was the first time your husband found out about you and Jonathan Curtis? Was it on the night he murdered him, here, in this room?
He didn't have to find out about anything, because I told him. And I'm glad I told him, because I wanted him to know.
Because you weren't in love with him anymore.
It may interest you to know that the only time I knew I really loved George Preston was on the day they hanged him for murder.
I've made the tea. It's downstairs in the sitting room.
Thank you, Mother. We'll be down in a moment.
Oh, just a minute, please. Before you go, Mrs. Whitman, do you mind if I ask you a few questions?
What about?
My mother knows nothing about it. Nothing at all.
Mrs. Whitman, whereabouts in the house do you sleep?
On the floor below this. Next to Virginia's room. Why?
You sleep well?
Sleep? Why, I practically live on Valium. What do you expect in this damned English climate?
Have you ever heard sounds coming from this room in the middle of the night?
Why should I hear sounds when there's nobody living up here?
You've never heard anyone moving about?
If I did, I'd be out of this house before you could say J. Edgar Hoover.
I told you. Nobody but myself knows anything about what's been going on in this room.
Now, that's not quite true, my dear, is it? As a matter of fact, I did once hear a rather curious sound coming from this room in the middle of the night. It was the old phonograph over there. Same monotonous tune, just like it always used to be. Of course, I knew I wasn't alone in the house at the time. I presume my daughter was up here in the chapel again. She does so love that old record.
Oh, Mother, do stop this.
Oh, my poor baby. What hell it's been for you all these years. But you can't bring back the past, Virginia. None of us can.
Oh,
now, don't turn away from me, honey. Mother loves you. You know I do.
Oh, well, yes. Thanks for your help, Mrs. Whitman. Now, would you mind working downstairs, please?
Oh, yes, yes, of course. You know, I like you, young man. I just know you're going to help my poor baby. and by the way, Mr. Elliot, do you like white rum by any chance?
Oh, God.
White rum?
I always keep a spare bottle in my room downstairs. Maybe you'd care to take a glass with me sometime?
No, thanks. I don't drink.
Oh, what a pity. It's a taste you could easily acquire.
If you believe her, you'll believe anything.
Now, what's so special about an old dance tune?
When I was a little girl, this used to be my favorite party theme. My mother hated it, but not Papa. I used to dance with him all the time. Look at me, Papa. I'm dancing for you. I promise you I'm not as crazy as you may think. That silly tune just brings back so many happy memories, that's all.
Oh, it seems fairly crazy to go around playing a gramophone in the middle of the night.
Look, I swear to you, I've never once played that phonograph. Not since the day my husband was taken from this house.
And Mrs. Preston, do you believe in the supernatural?
Well, of course I do.
Why?
If there's a natural, why shouldn't there be a supernatural?
But what is it you've actually seen or heard or experienced that proves to you the existence of life after death?
Do you have to see something to know it's there?
Well, how do you know something is here, Mrs. Preston? Why do you come up to this room night after night?
I told you I can't explain it. It's just a feeling, that's all.
You sure it's not a guilt complex?
And just what do you mean by that?
Oh, well, you know the sort of thing. Husband hanged for the murder of his wife's lover, returns to take his revenge at the scene of the crime. Come to think of it, it's quite a jokey idea.
I can see we're wasting each other's time.
He's dead, Mrs. Preston. Your husband is dead, and you haven't given me one shred of evidence to prove that his spirit is inhabiting this room.
Well, what do you want me to do? Take a movie of it or something? What about the night I slept up here alone?
But the bedclothes folded neatly across your ankles. You call that proof?
There were other things. Objects.
Objects?
Scattered all over the floor. Things I've never seen before in my life. Bits of stale bread, half-burnt candles, an old shoe, and lumps of hard clay. Then there was George's own razor, his own open razor. That suddenly turned up from nowhere. Even the police hadn't been able to find that. Then what about the diary? That's right, George's diary. One night I came up here, I found it lying on the small table at the side of the bed where he always used to keep it. And yet I distinctly remember burning that diary myself. You call that imagination?
Well, then where are these things now?
Well, that's just it. They disappeared.
Oh, Mrs. Preston, have you any idea how many people wrote to me after that article appeared in the Sunday Colour Supplement? All kinds of people, trying desperately to cling on to the past.
No.
To someone or something they can't have anymore. But what none of them can understand is, I can't help them. Nobody can. When somebody you love dies, there's nothing you can do but accept it. Death is final, Mrs. Preston. It's the closing of a door, the end, over, kaput. We don't have the right to cling on to those who belong to the past.
Simon, I'm not trying to cling on to the past. What I've experienced in this room is fact. Fact, not hallucination.
Hallucination? You sure that's all?
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, you know what they say. Sex can be the root cause of many a frustration.
It may interest you to know that sex has played absolutely no part in my life since my husband died.
What about when he was alive?
Well, for God's sakes, I was married to him.
Then why did you sleep around with guys nearly half your age?
You know, young man, if you're not careful, you'll find me asking you one or two questions about your sex life.
Well, you could ask. But I don't guarantee you'd like the answers.
Why not? What have you got to hide? Oh, come on now, Simon. You don't have to be shy with me. I know how you kids like to get your hands on anything that's going. What is it? An affair with some cute little schoolgirl?
I make it a rule never to discuss my private life.
Or maybe you prefer older women. Golly, don't tell me you don't like girls at all.
You never can tell.
I see.
Mrs. Preston, why did you kill your husband?
What? What did you say?
You know the first thing I did when I received your letter? I went through every newspaper report about your husband's trial that I could find. And do you know, it's odd. I couldn't find one single photograph of your husband anywhere.
There's nothing odd about that. George just never had any photographs taken of himself, not since he was a small child.
Yeah, well, it was quite a read. And tell me, why couldn't you bring yourself to say anything in defense of the man you yourself were sending to the gallows?
That's not true.
You wanted him dead, didn't you?
No!
You wanted him dead because he was no good to you alive.
How many times do I have to tell you? I loved George.
Because the one thing your money could never buy from George Preston was his love.
No! I never wanted George to die. I hated that boy, I tell you, I hated him.
Why lie to yourself, Mrs. Preston? You can lie to me or to anyone else in the world, but not to yourself. Now tell me the truth. What are you really afraid of in this room?
He's going to kill me. George killed that boy, and now he's going to kill me. Oh, God, why can't anyone believe what I say?
I believe you, Mrs. Preston.
What? What did you say?
I said, I believe you. You see, from the first moment I came into this room, I knew George Preston was waiting for me. Did you have to do that?
I don't like that record. I never did. There's nothing I hate worse than forced humor.
And my old gran had a record like that. She always played it to me when I went to see her on Sunday mornings. Same old thing week after week. Seemed ridiculous sitting there laughing at absolutely nothing. That's what I did. So did she. Tears used to run down her cheeks. As she lived on her own, you see. Wasn't much else for her to laugh at.
Simon, are you sure this is a good idea?
What?
You are moving into the chapel like this. After what you said about George, I don't have the right to put your life at risk.
Who said there was any risk?
Isn't there?
Who knows?
You're a strange boy. When I first met you yesterday, you made me feel somehow cheap.
Well, you're an attractive woman, Mrs. Preston. You don't need me to tell you that.
Oh, but I do. I need to be told all the time. That was the trouble with George. He always took me for granted. You know something? Basically, you're quite vain.
What makes you say that?
Why, I don't know, the way you keep combing your hair like that.
I'm sorry?
Simon, is it true what you said about yourself yesterday afternoon?
Is what true?
About being, well, you know, about not liking girls and all that.
That's not what I said.
It's what you implied.
Oh, look, if it worries you...
Oh, no, not at all.
Well, then, if you don't mind, I'd like to get on with some work. Will you help me move some furniture, please?
Move the furniture? Whatever for?
An experiment. Just the two of us, that's all.
An experiment? Do you mean a seance?
Look, I've told you, Mrs. Preston. I'm not a medium. And let me explain. Whenever you come into this room, into any room, you have a set image in your mind as to how it all looks, right?
Well, yes, I guess so.
Well, I want to try and change that image. I want to try and provoke a contact with whatever it is we're trying to make contact with, but I can't do it on my own.
Why not?
Because you're the direct link, Mrs. Preston. Not me. Now, let's have the table a bit more to the left, please.
Like this?
No, not too far. Just a few inches this way. Yeah. No, that's it.
Tell me, when are we going to try this experiment? Now?
No. Not until sometime this evening. We've got too much work to do first. Now here, take this piece of chalk and make a circle around the leg of every piece of furniture in the room.
What for?
Because from now on, if there's any psychic activity in this room at all, we're going to know about it.
You mean
Like this?
Yeah, that'll do fine.
I must say, I feel weird doing all this.
You know, I was just thinking. There must be a hell of a lot of people in this world who think they're psychic. People like me. Have you ever been to Atlantic City?
Where?
Atlantic City. It's on the east coast of the United States. I remember once when I was a kid at boarding school, they took us on a day's picnic there. It's a great, big, brash, adorable seaside resort. It was so vulgar, and I loved it. Anyway, I had this girlfriend, see, a Jewish kid named Sadie. Well, Sadie and I decided we wanted our fortunes told, so we went to see this old bird named Madame Serena, who spent most of the day just staring out to the sea from this broken-down shack on the promenade. Sadie went in first, but within 2 or 3 minutes she was out again, insisting that the old bird was nothing but a fake, and how deeply offended she was that she'd been robbed of her nickel piece. Poor Sadie. Even so, I was still curious enough to want to sample the experience for myself, so into the shack I went. There was a smell of stale beer and salt beef on rye bread. It was dark except for a thin shaft of light coming through the roof. Madame Zarina was sitting at the small table waiting for me. I can see her now. Her face was heavily lined like an old Greek peasant woman, and she was wearing an enormous moth-eaten black shawl. I parted with my hard-earned nickel and was told to sit down in the chair facing her. She asked to see the palm of my right hand, and for a moment didn't say a single word. She just sat there, holding on to my hand, staring down at it. Eventually she did speak. She said I wouldn't live long because I had an interrupted lifeline or something like that. But then, suddenly, her eyes flicked up at me, and I could see my own face reflected in them. They were large, dark, and sad eyes, but so alive. And then she started to speak, not in her own voice, younger, more like a child. She asked if I knew Edward, because Edward had a message for me. I said I didn't know anyone by that name, that there must be some mistake, and would she please stop squeezing my hand because she was hurting it. But the old bird with the child's voice insisted, "Edward loves you, Ginia. He's always loved you, and he'll always be around to protect you." My heart started to beat faster and faster. You see, Ginia was the name my own father used to call me when I was little. Slowly, my reflection disappeared from her eyes, and in its place I could see someone else. It was a man. I could see him quite clearly. A long, thin face, graying mustache and slicked down hair. He was smiling at me, his hands reaching out as though begging me to go to him. Ah, I don't know why, but I started to cry. Papa was dead, but it was him I could see. Edward. That was my father's name. He must have come to me because I wanted him there. I must have wanted him real badly, or else why would he have come? Simon? Simon? What are you doing there?
I'm trying to work out what your husband looked like.
But how can you draw a picture of someone you've never even seen? Jonathan was always drawing pictures in this room. Pictures of me.
Where did you first meet?
He worked in the same office as my husband. George thought the boy had a brilliant mind. Personally, I thought Jonathan Curtis was full of crap. Up to here with political ideology.
Oh, really? In what way?
That boy resented every brass nickel I had. Okay, so I inherited a few bucks. But what was I supposed to do about it? fly in a helicopter and drop dollar bills on the poor and needy of the world.
But you slept with him quite regularly after that.
I must have been out of my mind. I should have known he was only using me as a way to get his own back on all the things he hated most.
Simon!
Now stay where you are. Don't move.
What is it? What's happened?
It's the water jug. It must have fallen off the table at the side of the bed.
But how could it? There was no one over there. My God! Look at this chair. It's moved. It's moved outside the chalk marks. What is it? Simon! Simon, what is it? What's wrong?
I'm all right. Just leave me alone.
But look at you. You're shivering from head to foot. You're ill.
You're the one who's sick, Virginia. Not me.
What? What did you say? Simon? Simon! Let go of my hand!
Sorry to barge in, but there's someone downstairs brought you a very weird-looking machine. It looks like a tape recorder.
Simon, wait!
Well, I thought Englishmen were supposed to have perfect manners. But I was right, wasn't I? That boy is like Jonathan.
Mother, I told you to keep out of this.
The past is over, Virginia. Why can't you leave the dead alone?
Because I need George. To me, he's as much a part of the present as we are now.
Then why try to get rid of him?
If I don't get rid of him, he's going to kill me.
No, Virginia, the dead are dead, but you're alive. Oh, honey, now, don't you remember when you were a little girl, how you were afraid of the dark and used to scream out in the middle of the night? Well, I never let anyone harm you then, did I, my baby?
No, Mama.
No, of course I didn't. And I'm not going to let anyone harm you now, I promise you. Believe me, Mama knows best. What?
Mother, what is it? What are you looking at?
That sketch of George on the wall over there. Where did it come from?
It's one of Simon's. He drew it himself.
But how could he know? How could he possibly know? What's uncanny? It's quite unlike anything I've ever seen. It's the eyes. It's got something to do with the eyes. They're so real. They're so alive.
He'll never forgive me. He'll never let me go.
What was that? It sounded like a window slamming. What's that? Am I going crazy or something? I can hear voices. I can hear people talking. Virginia, can't you hear it, Virginia? Oh, it stopped. Yes. Oh, thank God, it stopped.
No, Mother. It's not stopped. It's just beginning.
Well, are we allowed to talk?
If you want to, why not?
With that tape recorder listening to everything we say, I'm terrified even to open my mouth.
Look, I've told you. There's nothing to be nervous of. This is merely an experiment in paranormal contact.
Do you think it'll work?
I've no idea.
What happens if you really do make contact with George?
Well, if I do, then we'll talk to him.
Talk to him? Just like that?
Now, Mrs. Preston, I'm not a medium. This is not a seance. My only objective is to try and create an atmosphere which will prompt either a manifestation or, at the very least, a communication with whatever psychic force is trapped within these walls.
Is that how you received that picture of George over there, by psychic communication?
Well, something like that.
You know, you really are the most extraordinary person I ever met.
Really?
No, I mean it. Basically, you're just an ordinary working-class boy, and yet you possess gifts that are well beyond the normal range of human understanding. Why, Simon? Why you? When did you first know?
Well, my first experience was when I was out walking the dog.
Walking the dog?
Yeah, I was 7 years old at the time, living with my granddad in this tiny farm labourer's cottage in Norfolk. Oh, it's beautiful. We were surrounded by miles and miles of rich agricultural land, just wind and sky. I had this dog, a white Labrador named Bouncer. He was about the only real friend I had in those days. Every morning before breakfast, Bouncer and I used to take our run down to the woods at the far end of the field. I can see it now. It was late summer, and the corn was towering above me, just waiting to be cut. Well, when we were about halfway across the field, Bouncer suddenly got the sniff of something and tailed off after it. Well, I thought it might have been a fox or something because the local hunt had been charging in and out of those woods just the day before. But it wasn't the hunt. For a few moments, I just stood there. I was all alone in the middle of a vast field that stretched for as far as the eye could see. All around me were corn husks rustling in the wind. Well, suddenly, I don't know why, I turned to look back over my shoulder. Someone was calling my name. At least, I thought they were, but the funny thing is, I couldn't actually hear a voice. Well, I started to walk back home, but although I had no reason to do so, I gradually felt the urge to stop. My foot, it touched something. Something lying quite still in between the rows of corn. Something quite small and helpless. No bigger than my own hand. It was a rabbit, a baby rabbit. Well, at first I thought it was dead, but when I bent down to touch it, its tiny body quivered in my hand. Its head was twice its normal size. And its eyes, well, they were bulging out of their sockets. Yes, it was a mix, all right. Myxomatosis. That marvellous invention the scientists came up with to rid us of our wild rabbit population. Pests, they call them. Vermin. But as I looked down at that small, half-crazed bundle at my feet, I couldn't help wondering which of us was the vermin. Well, I got up and started to walk away, but again I felt the urge to remain quite still. Somehow I just couldn't bring myself to leave that creature lying there to die slowly, in agony. I had to do something to put it out of its misery. But no, I couldn't do it. I wouldn't. I'd never killed anything in my whole life. But then I heard my name being called again. I looked around. But there was no one there. The rabbit slowly raised its head. It seemed to be watching me. I turned away. It was then that I noticed something else lying on the ground nearby. A stone. A large, heavy stone. I'm sure I hadn't seen it before. I shook my head. No! I won't do it. I can't. But then, my hands. I had no feeling in my hands. It was as though someone else was moving them for me. I stooped down. With both hands, I picked up the stone, raised it high above my head, and hesitated. The rabbit's eyes were wide open, staring at me, begging me to do what I had to do. With one swift movement, it was all over. I was 7 years old, but from that time on, my life has never belonged to me.
Simon?
Plato said, "He who desires to inflict rational punishment does not retaliate for a past wrong which cannot be undone."
What?
"He has regard to the future and is desirous that whoever is punished, and he who sees him punished, may be deterred from doing wrong again."
The lights! They're going on and off, the lights!
"And when Jehu was come to Jezreel, Jezebel heard of it, and she painted her face and tired her head and looked out at a window. And as Jehu entered in at the gate, she said, "Who slew his master?"
Simon, stop staring down at the table like that. Can't you see what's happening? Look at me, will you?
And he lifted up his face to the window and said, "Who is on my side? Who?"
No, don't touch me. Please don't touch me. Your hands, there's cold ice.
And he said, "Throw her down." So they threw her down, and some of her blood was sprinkled on the wall.
Let go of me.
And when he was come in, he did eat and drink and say, "Go see now this cursed woman and bury her."
The door is locked.
And they went to bury her.
Somebody
but
help
they found
me.
No more of her than the skull and the feet and the palms of her hands.
Open the door!
Wherefore they came again and told him. And he said, "This is the word of the Lord."
For God's sake, Simon, what's wrong with you? What do you want of me?
What do I want? I want you, Virginia. I want your love. Your love.
I'm warning you. Keep away from me.
They say that when a man drowns, he can see his whole life laid out before him. That's how it is with me now. Everything is so clear, so crystal clear. I can see you and me, Virginia. I can see our whole life together. Just the two of us, you and me.
I'm warning you. Touch me and I'll tear your eyes out. Bastard!
Bitch!
Son of a bitch!
You bit my lip, there's
I'll
blood!
I'll do it again if you try to kiss me like that.
Isn't this what you want, Virginia? Isn't this what you've always wanted?
Oh, bastard! You dared hit me!
Love me, Virginia!
Get away from me!
Love me!
No! Oh, my dress. Look what you've done to my dress. You've torn it.
Love me.
Oh, God. Oh, God, Simon. Look at you. No, Simon, no. Don't let me die. Please don't let me die. No, Simon. Can't you see what's happening to you? It's his room, Simon. They're using you to kill me. They want to kill us both.
Love me.
Don't let them do it to Simon. In the name of God, don't let them.
Love me, Virginia.
You... Is it really you? George? Oh, George.
Mr. Elliot! Mr. Elliot! Mr. Elliot, young man, are you in there?
What do you want?
Open the door, please. I want to talk to you.
Well, you'll have to wait. I've got no clothes on. What do you want?
My daughter didn't sleep in her room last night.
Well, what do you want me to do about it? Maybe she couldn't sleep.
I should think not, with all that noise that was going on up here.
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry about that. I was listening to a few tapes.
Mr. Elliot, where is my daughter?
Well, maybe she went for a walk in the park.
The park? You know what time it is? It's only 8:30 in the morning. That girl would drive me into an early grave.
Bit late for that.
What was that?
I said, try the park. Mrs. Whitman, are you still there?
I'm warning you, young man. If I don't find my daughter, I'll be back.
Doesn't miss a trick, does she?
You'd better get some clothes on.
Seen all you want, have you?
Now look, sonny boy. It wasn't my idea to go to bed with someone like you.
I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry for what happened. What more can I say?
Oh, I'm not complaining. Actually, it was quite a pleasant surprise. I mean, I didn't even know you could. One thing you must say for the dead. At least they have a sense of humor. Simon, are you all right?
Yes, I'm all right.
Sure?
Of course I'm bloody sure. What do you expect me to say?
Well, how am I expected to know? It may not have occurred to you, but you very nearly killed me last night.
The man you slept with was your own husband, not me. My personality was dominated by an alien force.
I know that.
How do you know?
I remember what George Preston was like as a lover. Last night it was as though he'd come back from the dead and was lying right there beside me. It was his hands that were pressing into my flesh, his eyes that were staring at me with contempt, a feeling of complete domination. Is it possible, Simon? Is it really possible? What are you staring at?
You have a beautiful body.
Pass me my dress, please. I'm getting cold.
Yeah, sure.
Thanks. You know, for a time last night, I really was convinced you were going to kill me.
Kill you?
Well, you're lucky I didn't drop down dead at your feet. I have a heart condition, you know, the slightest shock.
Yeah, Mrs. Preston, what exactly happened in this room last night?
Huh?
Well, I want you to tell me everything, just as you remember it.
You mean you don't know?
The last thing I remember is sitting at that table with the two of us talking into the tape recorder, and from then on, my mind is a complete blank.
Dear God. Well, I hardly know where to start. It was such a nightmare. Your voice and personality seemed to change. You became older. An older man, just like George.
Go on.
At first, I didn't realize what was happening, but when you started the Bible punching...
Bible punching?
Reciting from the Bible was George's way of trying to save me from eternal damnation.
Mrs. Preston, why didn't I kill you last night?
What?
Well, you said there was a moment when you were convinced I was going to kill you.
That's right.
Well, then why didn't I? What stopped me?
What stopped you? How should I know what stopped you?
Well, what is it? What are you looking at?
The picture. That sketch you drew of George. Look at it. It's torn in half from top to bottom. Right down the center. Right through the face. One eye. Just one eye staring at us. Simon, look at it. Why won't you look? Did you do this? Simon, answer me. Did you tear that picture?
I don't know.
What do you mean you don't know? You must know.
Look, I keep telling you. I don't remember a thing that happened to me last night. Every time I tried to see what happened, I found myself wandering in a desert. A bleak, dark wilderness. I can't see anything. I can only hear a voice. A voice urging me to do something. He won't forgive you, Mrs. Preston. George will never forgive you.
Is it likely to happen again? I mean, will George try to use you to kill me?
Well, no. If he wanted to do that, he could have done it last night.
Then why didn't he?
I don't know. Anyway, you've never told me why George Preston should want to kill you.
For God's sakes! I did send him to the gallows.
You still have a conscience about that?
Of course I have a conscience about it. I loved that man. I never wanted him to die. If it hadn't been for Jonathan, for that boy. Oh, God, how I despised him.
Then why did you sleep with him? Why?
He made me feel young again. Pathetic, isn't it?
But at the time, you couldn't have been much more than a young woman yourself.
I was 32.
Well, is that old?
For me, it was. When a married woman is flattered by a boy younger than herself, matrimonial fidelity is easily forgotten.
You know what I think? I think you should sell this house and get the hell out of here.
Why?
It might save your life.
No. There's not a place in the world I could run to. Wherever I went, George would always be waiting for me.
Then why try to get rid of him?
I don't want to get rid of him. Can't you understand? I need George now more than I ever did when he was alive. I just want him to give me a chance to tell him so. You know, soon after George's execution, there were times when I was convinced I could actually see him up here in the chapel. I tried desperately to remember all the little things he used to do, where he'd sit, how he'd be looking at me. I spent hours staring at his favorite chair over there, determined to prove to myself that I was psychic and that I could actually see him sitting there. But I never could. Do you suppose it's always like that when someone dies?
Could be.
That's odd. I thought you said you didn't smoke.
Well, I don't.
Then where did this packet of French cigarettes come from?
I've no idea.
They're the same brand that Jonathan used to smoke.
Mrs. Preston, on the night of the murder, how did your husband know you were up here in this room, making love to Jonathan Curtis?
I don't know. I've never known.
Wasn't it possible someone could have told him?
I don't see how. Nobody knew.
You're quite sure about that?
Of course I'm sure.
Why?
Why? Because Jonathan and I were always careful enough not to be seen together.
Well, not once.
Not once.
Not in all the time you'd known him. What was it, 18 months or so?
The only time Jonathan Curtis ever came to this house was on Wednesday evenings. That was when George always spent the night in Birmingham on his weekly business trip.
But he wasn't in Birmingham that night.
Ah, but he was. Or at least he was for part of the time.
What do you mean?
I telephoned George at his hotel. It must have been about 6:30 that evening. It was one of those cozy little rituals that husbands and wives can't do without. Anyway, as soon as I heard George's voice at the other end, I knew the coast was clear. Jonathan arrived soon after 7, and we had dinner together. Oh, it was a strange evening. Jonathan was never the easiest person to be with at the best of times. His head was always too full of politics and nasty jibes about my rich American background. And he hated to be argued with. If ever I tried to answer back, he'd just turn away and sing that same ridiculous tune over and over again. Ha, 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 you and me, little brown jug, don't I love thee? Ha, 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 you and me, little brown jug, don't I love thee? God, he irritated me. I only ever wanted him for one thing, and he knew it. But that night, it was different. The whole evening, he flattered me. For the first time, I felt like a woman any man would desire. But then I became suspicious. Jonathan asked if he could come up here to this room, to the chapel. I wanted to know why. But he said it was because he was just curious. He'd never seen this room in the house. It was the only room he hadn't seen before. He was lying, of course. Coming up here to George's own private lair was a challenge. The idea excited him.
Are you quite sure no one ever saw you and Jonathan alone together?
Never.
What about your mother?
Oh, she'd seen us a couple of times, but only when George was around. Actually, my mother quite liked Jonathan. I once caught them having a tete-a-tete together. White rum and coke.
What about the night of the murder? Surely your mother must have heard something going on up here.
She was in Cambridge. Mother always spent Wednesdays and Thursdays in Cambridge. She has an old school chum up there. They brew a witch's cauldron together.
Yeah. You and your mother are not really best of friends, are you?
My mother hates me. She's always hated me. Ever since my father died and left everything to me, she's tried very hard to make me believe that my mind is unbalanced. When I was a child, she used to stand outside my bedroom door at night and make weird tapping sounds. I was terrified of the dark and convinced it was the dead who'd come to carry me off to the graveyard. Do you wonder I'm neurotic? Simon? Simon?
I'm in the ironing room. Where does this door lead to?
The landing outside. At the top of the stairs. Why?
Well, it's locked.
I know it is. It has been for years.
You have the key?
As far as I know, there's never been a key. At least there hasn't been since George and I moved here.
But, during the trial,
It was stated that on the night your husband found you and Jonathan Curtis together in this room, he entered through the ironing room door. Well, how could he have done that, Mrs. Preston, if there was no key?
Perhaps George had a key without telling me.
I see.
What are you doing?
Oh, I'm rewinding the tape.
What for? Don't you believe anything I've told you?
Yes, Mrs. Preston. Unfortunately, I do, but there are just too many things that don't add up.
What do you mean?
I mean that if George Preston wanted to use me to kill you last night, he could have done so without any trouble at all, so what stopped him?
How do you know he won't try again?
Well, I don't know. Maybe the tape does.
For God's sake, Simon, what's wrong with you? What do you want of me?
What do I want? I want you, Virginia. I want your love. Your love.
I'm warning you. Keep away from me.
They say when a man drowns, he can see his whole life laid out before him.
What's that?
That's how it is.
That laugh in the background.
Something is so clear, so crystal clear. I can see you and me, Virginia. I can see our whole life together. Just the two of us, you and me.
I'm warning you. Touch me and I'll tear your eyes out. Oh, my God. There it is again. Bastard.
Bitch.
Son of a bitch.
My lip is
blood.
I'll
do it again or if you try to kiss me like that.
No, Simon, no. Turn it off. For God's sake, turn it off. No.
Bastard. You dared hit me.
Love me.
Don't hit me.
It's all right, Mrs. Preston.
Didn't you hear that voice in the background laughing at us?
Yeah, I heard it.
There were only two people in this room last night, you and me.
I know that. Well, in psychical research, it's not unusual for a tape recorder to pick up the sound of an alien voice.
But this was the voice of someone we couldn't see or hear at the time. Someone who was right here in this room, watching us, laughing at us.
Did you recognize the voice?
It was George's laugh, all right. It must have been. What are you doing?
Well, I want to hear the rest of the tape.
No, Simon!
Well, that's odd. The tape spools are jammed. They won't move, Mrs. Preston. Would you check the plug in the wall over there for me, please?
Where is it?
Just by the door. Can you see it?
Ah, got it.
Is it plugged in?
Yes, it's plugged in, all right. And it's switched on.
Well, I don't understand. There's no electric power coming through.
Virginia! Are you up there?
Mother, she's back.
You better go.
Virginia?
Well, she's not here, Mrs. Whitman.
I heard voices up there.
Yeah, it was the tape recorder, Mrs. Whitman.
Now, look, before you go, just one question.
Yes?
Can you remember at what time of night the murder of Jonathan Curtis took place in this room?
What time? I don't know, I can't remember.
Try hard, please.
I don't know, I tell you. Soon after 11 p.m, I think it was.
Virginia.
The exact time, please. It's important.
It was 10 minutes after 11.
10 past 11. Yeah. And can you remember what clothes you were wearing at that time?
What?
Virginia, are you
What were
there?
You wearing, Mrs. Preston?
I don't remember. Oh, yes. An ordinary black cocktail dress, I think.
Do you still have it?
No, the police used it for evidence during the trial. There were bloodstains.
Well, could you wear something like it and come back here tonight?
What? Are you kidding?
Mrs. Preston. The only way we're going to communicate with your husband is to make that night happen all over again, exactly the same as it was at the time Jonathan Curtis was murdered.
No, I won't do it. I can't.
Virginia!
Will you trust me, Mrs. Preston, will you?
After what happened here last night, I don't think I'll ever trust anyone again.
This is your only chance, Mrs. Preston, the last chance. Now, I could walk out of that door now and keep away from you for the rest of your life, but believe me, it wouldn't solve anything. Sooner or later, George Preston would find someone else to kill you.
Virginia, I'm coming up there.
11 o'clock tonight, Mrs. Preston. Will you do it?
I'll be here. The door. It's locked. I don't have a key.
Oh. Here.
Can I really trust you?
My wife and I lived all alone in a little log hut we called our own. She loved beer, and I loved rum. And oh, we had a lot of fun. Ha, 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 you and me. Little brown jug, don't I love thee? Ha, 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 he, he, he. Little brown jug, don't I love thee? Just a minute! Oh. Thank you for coming. I wasn't at all sure you would. You look great. The dress, I mean.
What's all this for? The white adhesive tape?
I went out and bought a reel of it this afternoon.
Chalk marks all over the walls, ours on the floor. You've taped everything down, even the ashtrays.
Just a precaution, that's all.
Precaution?
Well, in case the action gets a little too lively. Now, will you excuse me for a minute, please? I want to tape up the sides of the door.
Tell me, is all this to prevent something from getting in or to stop it from getting out?
Who knows? There's a pair of scissors on the table over there. Could you pass them to me, please? Thanks.
Simon, what were you and my mother talking about this afternoon?
Your mother?
Oh, come on. I know she came up to this room because I saw her. What was the price of admission? A white rum and coke? That's usually her style.
Well, as a matter of fact, we had afternoon tea and cakes.
Really?
She wanted to talk about you.
I bet.
You know, I think you've got your mother all wrong. She just wants to help you, that's all.
My, oh my. I have a sweet little grey-haired old lady for a mother, and nobody told me. Well, I'm warning you, buddy boy. My mother eats people like you for dessert. It was like that with Jonathan, and she'll do the same to you, so beware.
You've been drinking, haven't you?
Well, if I'm to spend the rest of the night locked up here with Jack the Ripper, I need fortification.
What are you so afraid of, Mrs. Preston?
Afraid? Me?
Why are you so jealous of your mother?
Am I?
Well, she knows it. It hurts.
Oh, boy. Has she done a good job on you? And what exactly am I supposed to be jealous of?
I don't know.
Maybe she's better in bed than I am. You should try sometime. I'm sure Mama has one or two quaint variations on a theme.
Yeah. What time is it, please?
It's just after 11.
Oh, we'd better get started.
Haven't you forgotten something?
Well, what's that?
The stained glass window up there in the ceiling. Aren't you going to seal that up, too?
No, it won't be necessary.
I can see the new moon. Just my luck to see it through glass.
Mrs. Preston, we haven't much time. Would you take this piece of cord, please, and tie my wrists behind my back?
You've got to be kidding.
I know what I'm doing, Mrs. Preston. Now, believe me, this is for your protection just as much as my own. Now, do as I say, please.
Okay. That's the way you want it.
Make the knot as tight as you can. No, more than that. It's too loose. That's it.
What are you trying to do, anyway?
Well, whatever energy has been retained in this room has to be fought on its own ground.
Energy? You mean a poltergeist?
I mean a violent psychic force which can manifest itself in a living form. And if that form should happen to be me, well...
I was right. George is going to try again. He's going to use you to kill me.
You're perfectly safe, Mrs. Preston.
Safe?
Yes, as long as you obey my instructions, no harm will come to you. There's another piece of cord on the table. Now, I'm going to sit down, and I want you to bind my hands to the back of the chair. But hurry, please, we don't have much time left.
It's crazy. Absolutely crazy. I must be out of my mind bringing you to this house. There. Get out of that if you can.
What time is it now?
What, again?
The time, please.
Okay. It's 5 minutes after 11. At least I think it is.
Right. Take your position, please.
What?
Look, Mrs. Preston, on the night your husband murdered Jonathan Curtis, at the precise moment that murder took place, where in this room were you positioned?
You mean
Where exactly?
Exactly.
It was over there. I was standing just in front of the window that's been blocked up.
Well, could you go over there, please?
Why?
Look, Mrs. Preston, if you want to make contact with your husband, then you've got to help me reconstruct those last few minutes. Now, stop asking questions and do as I say, please.
Okay, okay. Keep your hair on. It was just about here.
Were the curtains drawn at the time?
At the window, yes.
And what about Jonathan? Where was he?
He was standing there. Just there. With his back to the ironing room curtains. God damn you, you're not even looking.
What did you talk about, Mrs. Preston? You and Jonathan?
Talk? Are you joking? He wanted to make love. I told him it was a sick idea that we should go back downstairs to my own room, but he wouldn't listen. You see, he'd already made up his mind to humiliate us, both of us, me and George. Anyway, I tried to get out of the room, but the door was locked. Jonathan had the key. I told him if he didn't open that door right away, I'd scream the place down, but that just made him laugh even more, and he slammed the window and bolted it. Poor Jonathan. He never grew up, always playing games. From then on, I got really mad at him. I picked up an ashtray and threw it at him. This made him come right on at me. He grabbed hold of my arm and twisted it up behind my back. He ripped off my dress and practically threw me across the room to the other side. And for a moment, I was too scared to do anything. I just crouched on the bed, hardly daring to move. He taunted me, made me feel cheap and dirty. Son of a bitch. He thought he knew it all, but he knew nothing. It was then that I saw those curtains move. Someone had come in quietly through the ironing room. It was George. He was holding a razor in his hand. The open razor he always used to shave up here with in the chapel. Jonathan didn't see him. I don't think he ever did. Oh, God, I should have warned him, but I couldn't. I just couldn't. It was over so quickly, I hardly realized what had happened at all. All I remember is Jonathan lying there, his eyes staring up at me in agony and disbelief, and that long, silent gash in his throat, like a river of blood flooding its banks. What's that smell? Something's burning. Simon? Simon, there's a cigarette burning in the ashtray. Simon, are you listening to me? God almighty, what a time to go to sleep. Wake up, will you? Wake up. What's that? Who is it? Who's there? Mother? Is it you? Answer me, God damn you! Suppose it isn't Mother. Oh, my God. This is all your fault, you little... Just wake up, will you? Wake up! Simon, what is it? What's wrong with you? Oh! George? Is it you? Is it? Oh, darling, if you're there, please listen to me. I'm weak, George. I've always been weak. But you are strong. How many times have I tried to tell you that? How many times have I tried to tell you that you are the only one who ever meant anything to me? Oh, George,
Where are you, darling? Why can't I see you? When someone you love dies, why can't you see them through the dark? I've got to get out of here. But how? He's locked the goddamn door. Simon, wake up! Wake up! Oh, for Christ's sakes! What am I going to do? There must be another way out somehow. There must be. Oh, my God, the ironing room. The ironing room. No! No. No. No.
Virginia, is that you?
You killed her. You killed my mother. Blood. Look at my hands. Oh. Why?
I can't do that, Virginia. You know how I hate the sight of blood.
Why?
Why did I kill her? Because she talked too much. There's a trouble with old people. They never know when to stop. I warned her so many times, you know.
George? Is it you? Is it really you?
What's it like to be rich, Virginia? Come on now, you were never the one to be so shy about your wealth.
There's nothing wrong in being rich, George. Capitalism is the foundation of democracy.
Wealth, the great American dream.
This isn't you, George. It can't be. Who are you?
Why did you bring him back from Birmingham that night, Virginia? Why did you bring George Preston back here to this very room?
Jonathan!
You brought him back because it was your last desperate hope that only his jealousy would get him back into bed with you.
No!
He couldn't bear to touch you, could he, Virginia? It was only anger that ever gave George Preston the courage to make love to you.
No!
That's why you telephoned him in Birmingham that night. Yes, you, Virginia. The night I was to be the pawn in your neat little game.
Let me out! Let me out!
You killed me, Virginia. You killed us both, George and me. And you know why? Because the one thing you could never buy was our love.
No! Who is it? Help me! Please help me!
He's come to collect you, Virginia. Why don't you let him in?
Come to collect me. What are you talking about?
He's been waiting a long time, Virginia. We both have.
You fool! You poor, stupid, misguided fool! Did you really think you could scare me with your pathetic little tricks? Did you really think that by killing my mother you could actually hurt me? Don't you understand, darling?
I wanted her dead. I'd have done it myself years ago if it hadn't been for George, if he hadn't been around to protect her. You see, George and my mother had so much in common, so much to gain by joining forces against me. But it didn't work then, and it won't work now. Poor mother. I always try to warn her about the company she keeps. There's no such thing as honor amongst thieves, you know. I remember once when I was little, Mother told me that she was going to live forever. She was wrong. Nobody lives forever, Jonathan. Even when they're dead.
Cut me loose, Virginia.
Cut you loose?
Oh, dear, how thoughtless of me.
I was forgetting how painful it must be for you sitting there with your hands tied behind your back. Now, what shall I use? Ah, what about this? Recognize this, darling? You remember it, don't you, Jonathan? It's George's old cutthroat razor.
Shall I tell you something, darling? There was a reason why I brought you up here to the chapel that night. It was all a game, Jonathan, just a game. Only the stakes we were playing for were your life. No, don't try to move, darling. I wouldn't want you to hurt those delicate white wrists of yours. You see, just before you arrived at the house that night, I telephoned George at his hotel and told him everything. I told him how I'd been intimidated by this two-bit punk of a kid who'd gotten into the habit of calling on me every time my husband left the house. I told him how you'd threatened to call on me that very evening, and that if you did, I wouldn't be responsible for what might happen. George didn't say a thing. But I knew he'd taken the bait. Unfortunately, when he did get here, he lost his nerve. When knew he would, you see. I always had to do everything for him.
You mean he refused to commit murder for someone he didn't love?
That's a lie. George did love me. He always loved me.
And I tell you he didn't. With that $500,000 of yours tucked away in a New York bank account, all you ever meant to George Preston was a passport to a very secure future. Don't you understand? You can't hurt me anymore, Virginia. No man can die more than once.
You're no more use to me now, Jonathan. Or George. Or Simon. Or whoever you are. You're no more use to me now, alive or dead. You know the last time I used this razor was on you, Jonathan? Yes, darling. I'm afraid it was me that killed you. It wasn't George. How could it be? But why didn't he stop me from killing you? I mean, in a sense, that makes George just as guilty as me, doesn't it, Jonathan? Doesn't it? And yet, when they sentenced him to death for murder he didn't actually commit, he didn't even look at me. Not once. He just let them take him to those gallows. And...
Open the door, Virginia. Go on. Open it, if you dare.
The tape recorder.
Oh, very good, Jonathan. Very good. No one can play games like you can. No one. Bravo!
Let him in, Virginia. Why don't you let him in?
Because there's no one there. There never has been. There's no one to see me now, Jonathan. No one. Not even George.
You're wrong. He can see you. George can see you. No!
Virginia!
George!
Give me the razor, Virginia.
No!
Give it to me.
Don't do it, George. I beg you. Don't kill him. He's not worth it.
Virginia.
Oh, I know I shouldn't have telephoned you like that, but I couldn't help myself, George. I wanted you to love me.
Virginia,
wanted you to love me so
listen
much.
To me. George is dead. Dead, do you hear? And you're
we'll
alive.
Send him away, yes. That's what we'll do. We'll send him away and we won't ever have to see him again.
Oh, Virginia, my poor baby.
But don't kill him, George. If you kill him, we'll both die. You and me.
George is dead, Virginia. It's all over. Do you understand? All over.
All over. Mother. You're alive.
Yes, no thanks to that maniac over there. When I came up here this afternoon, he tried to kill me with George's razor. Look at the cut on my arm. Just look at it. I was so terrified, I didn't know what was going on. I must have blacked out and hit my head against something.
You mean you've been lying there all this time?
Listen to me, Virginia. I was the one who telephoned George that night. Not you. I knew what was going on between you and that boy, and I had to do something about it.
You telephoned George?
Jonathan Curtis wanted everything he could get out of you, but I was determined not to let him get away with it. Oh, not because of your money, Virginia. The money your father left you is yours. It always has been, and you're entitled to every brass nickel of it. You see, I was never a real wife to him. I never did anything to earn his love. So why should he care what the hell happened to me after he was gone? He must have hated me so much. But you know, he never actually told me so. It's odd, isn't it? How people can't actually tell you what they think of you until after they're dead. But I was not prepared to allow that boy to get away with anything. I'd have killed him with my own hands first. It would have been so easy.
But it's not true. It can't be. Don't you understand, Mother? I killed Jonathan. When George came through that curtain, like you did just now, I took the razor from him and I killed Jonathan with my own hands.
No.
What?
Jonathan Curtis is dead, Mrs. Preston. But you didn't kill him.
Lies.
When George Preston found you in this room with Jonathan that night, he realized for the first time in his life that he couldn't bear to live without you. He took hold of that razor.
No!
He took hold of it and tore into Jonathan's throat with all the violence that he could only find during the act of love itself.
No!
He killed for you, Mrs. Preston.
Oh, no.
Because he loved you. He still loves you. It was a feeling of guilt that brought you up to this room night after night. Guilt that made you believe you committed a murder you were not responsible for. That's why you brought me to this house, whether you know it or not. When you saw my photograph in the magazine, I immediately became your one hope for a link with the past. I even look a bit like Jonathan, don't I? That made it even more likely that I was the one person who could help rid you of your guilt. Mrs. Preston, there's a dark side of the mind in every one of us. Trouble is, we none of us know how to use it.
The razor. Give me the razor, Mother.
Virginia? No.
Do as I say, Mother, please. I want to cut Simon loose.
Well, that won't be necessary.
Simon! Your hands! How did you free them?
Keep away from him, Virginia. He tried to kill me in this room this afternoon.
What happened in this room this afternoon had nothing to do with me, Mrs. Whitman. The spirit of Jonathan Curtis dominated my subconscious whenever he chose to do so. He was determined to take his revenge.
But how do we know he's gone? I mean, really gone.
If you had taken my life with that razor a few minutes ago, Jonathan Curtis would have lived forever. But now he's gone. And he'll never come back again. George won't let him.
Phew. Boy, I need a drink. If anyone cares to join me, I'll be down in my room. Oh, the door's locked.
Oh, yes. Just a minute, please. And we shan't be needing all this adhesive tape anymore. There.
Thank you. You know, young man, if I had a son like you, I wouldn't sleep at nights, Valium or no Valium.
Well, I guess that's about it.
Yeah, if I was you, I'd go and get a good night's sleep. You're going to need it.
You know something? I think I'll get this room decorated. A coat of paint would make all the difference. Yes, and I'll have that window unblocked again. It needs some light in here.
Yes.
I don't suppose you've made any plans yet. I mean, your own personal plans.
Well, if it's all right with you, I'll move out first thing in the morning.
Oh, there's no rush. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you can stay as long as you want. I mean, nobody uses this room ever. What I'm trying to say is, I owe you an awful lot.
I'll be going in the morning, if you don't mind.
Oh, well, I'd better go and see how poor Mother is. I think she really is quite shaken up.
Yeah. Look, I'm sorry. I'm really sorry for what happened. If there's anything I can do...
No, she'll be all right. She's a tough old bird. Simon? Is it true? I mean, what you said about George. Did he love me? Did he really love me?
I told you, Mrs. Preston. He still loves you.
And Jonathan? Will he leave me alone from now on?
Jonathan's gone, Mrs. Preston. You'll never see him again.
Thank you, Simon. That's funny. The door's locked. Simon? Did you lock the door again? Simon? Simon? Simon! Simon? Jonathan? No!
In Dark by Victor Pemberton. Anna Blackman played the part of Virginia Preston, Bessie Love that of her mother, and Nigel Anthony, Simon Elliott, and others. The play was directed by John Tiedemann.